coming up next, we have Cinnamon. And what can I tell you about Cinnamon? Other than her name sounds so sweet, and she is too, but she's been an entrepreneur for most of her life. And whenever I talk to her, I just sit here and go, whoa, really? So get ready to go, whoa, because here comes Cinnamon. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Hi, are you a business owner, an entrepreneur, or starting your own business and wish you had an opportunity to sit down with an expert in your field? Well, check your local listings and watch Expert Talk with Tigo. I'm Tigo, and I'll talk to you very soon.
Here comes Cinnamon. Hey, Cinnamon, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. Welcome especially after Madden. Listening to your last guest.
Yeah, he's cool, huh?
Yeah, he's really cool. I feel like we're related.
So let's talk about, because you have the greatest name to be a chef, but you are not a chef, as far as I know, as of
not
yet.
Maybe
a new business for you, knowing you. You know, it's like, get the notepad out. This may be new. But you have been in business for yourself pretty much the majority of your life, correct?
Yeah, more than 20. If wow. I'm old enough to say that.
Yeah, you know, you're 22, so that's okay. You started right after diapers. I understand. So let's talk about your main gig, and then we're going to get into, you know, you being an author and all the other stuff you've done. Mm-hmm. What business do you own and what do you do?
Yeah, so my main gig, I call it my day job, is called A19. And that is a lighting manufacturing company. We make ceramic lighting fixtures. I call it artisan manufacturing. Specializing in wall sconces and pendants. And like I said, that's my day gig.
And your coolest website ever is A19, literally
A19.com. That's easy. The letter A, the number 19.
That is the coolest website ever. How does she get that? Who does she know? She must know Oprah. You know, like, how did she do that? But your products are awesome. And you shared something with me not too long ago, because you are also on the summit. And you are, you know, recently you were on Expert Talk with Tigo, and I appreciate that. But you shared something with me that you've been doing this for a while, but your actual products, you could actually get one of these products and have it for many, many years, if not a lifetime, correct?
Right. Yeah. When I started my business with sales reps, they said, well, you know, Cinnamon, the problem with your product is it lasts forever. From a business perspective, sometimes you want it to need to be replaced every 2 years.
I mean, you have some beautiful stuff and, you know, people need to go out to A19 and check it out. But you've owned other businesses as well. You've owned a gym or a chain of.
Yeah, fitness franchise.
Yeah, you owned a franchise for, and you decided to close that. You're an award-winning author, you know. Let's start with the gym. You got tired of the gym owner and decided you just wanted to own it?
No. So what's funny is that I owned a fitness franchise because my mom wanted me to exercise with her. And so I just went to a convention one day and was like, well, I can do that. And so I did that for 15 years. And I owned my lighting company that entire time also. And I had founded an art gallery also, but I was single during that time. I was not married. Okay. And so the transition was I took on a challenge from a life coach to find a husband in a year. And so that was like this, you know, if you learn to know me, I like to play big and I like to make games. And so the transition out of the fitness industry was because I took on a husband instead. I don't have any regrets, but I didn't necessarily need to sell that business either. It really was a result of taking advice from friends and family who thought that I couldn't be a stepmom and an entrepreneur owning three businesses and, you know, everything at the same time. And so that was really why I sold the fitness franchise. But I loved it. It was fun. It was great.
So that brings up the comment or the thought in my head of, you know, there's 1,000 thoughts running through my head right now, but that brings up multitasking. You know, I kind of touched on it a little bit with Steve prior in this prior interview, but people are thinking they, you know, you and I, we got 15 roads running at the same time and we just light the one we want to light. Whereas other people, they have a harder time getting off one track and getting onto the next track. What would you say would be a good tip for somebody to get out of their fear and just try multitasking?
Yeah. Well, so for one, multitasking is you're jumping from one task to another task. You're not actually doing them.
Simultasking, huh?
Yeah. But really, I say the best way is whatever resonates is true and is a good fit for you, right? Mm-hmm. Is I think more people, rather than doing multiple things, they don't even do one thing. They think about it before they jump. You know, I call it jumping off the cliff, because it's like you just commit and you make it work. So for me, that's why I said I don't know if it was really necessary or the best decision to sell the fitness business, because I really thrived in that setting. I loved that. Now, for other people, maybe the advice of only have one business, one husband. Now, I do like the one husband advice.
Okay, right? Wait, hold on.
But multiple businesses, one husband is more the fit for me. Thanks for laughing. I think I'm funny sometimes.
That was funny. Yeah, you are funny at times. So let's talk about your book, because you are an author. You know, what's the title of your book? What's it about?
Oh, I happen to have it here. How convenient.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, let's go.
So the book is called Generating Your Own Happiness. It's available everywhere books are sold. And it's about generating for yourself whatever you want for yourself in your life. And I believe that happiness, really understanding yourself and your human behavior and how things work in your mind. I call them like the monkeys talking in your head. When you have that understanding and you can the emotional intelligence and you can generate your own happiness, then you can be that much more successful at everything you do in your life. So I really think of my book as your prerequisite to having anything you want in your life.
So if, you know, you hear people say, you know, they're not lucky. You know, luck doesn't come at my door. Good fortune doesn't hit my door. These are people waiting for this stuff to come to them.
Exactly.
And what I'm hearing from you is the exact opposite, correct?
Right. Right. So if you live like, you know, you've heard the concept of limiting beliefs. If you live like life is happening to you, then you don't have any power. Right. But if you put yourself in the driver's seat or you take the horse by the reins and you're generative and you're taking responsibility and ownership for things, then that's where you have power. Right. And life is really a choice. And that's not at all to discount circumstances. Like there are some serious circumstances that people deal with, but we still get to choose if we have what I call like the game on mindset in difficult circumstances. Or if we're going to have more of a victim mindset, like, oh, I'm helpless, you know? So yeah, one of the things that really works for me is I have this playful personality. You heard me say like, whatever's the right fit for you. Mm-hmm. So when there's a challenge, I have that like game on, bring it. It's another obstacle. Like we're playing the game. What kind of card are you going to throw my way? And so that's really what works for me.
So if somebody is sitting there looking at this and they're going, yeah, she can say that. You know, she doesn't have any fears. She's done this forever. You know, nothing stops her. But I'm scared to go out there. What do you say? Because I know we've talked about this before. We talked about it in your interview. I know you've had fears. How do you address fear?
Do it anyway. Do it anyway. The fear doesn't go away. But I tell myself it's excitement. And then you do it anyway, right? It's like getting on the roller coaster. You choose to put yourself in that seat and be terrified, but that's where the thrill is. So, you know, eat or don't. But don't say you want to and not.
Yeah, this is
right?
True.
So it's like you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
Exactly. And one of the things with everything else you got going on, you managed to cut a couple of hours out of your day and you actually work and volunteer at SCORE. You help businesses get their business going. So somebody walks in the door and they've got an idea written on a napkin.
And that's how I started on a napkin.
And the napkin is yellow now because they've had it for so long. And they go, this is my last choice. I'm coming here. Should I do this? Should I not? What are you telling that person?
Well, it's interesting. In the context of SCORE and writing a business plan, mm-hmm. part of the process of planning is getting to a yes or a no, right? If you do the work, it is totally respectable to work on the entire plan and be able to look and say, this business just isn't feasible. It's not the right thing to do, right? But that's very different than not taking action because of fear or reservations. Mm-hmm. If you know that you've done the work and you're excited about the idea, then that's when you do it. You commit, right? So that's where, for me, all of the things I've ever started is because I put myself in a position where I must. I'm so committed that you can't backtrack anymore. You know, people are expecting things of me.
So if somebody comes in and they have that napkin, that yellow napkin that you look mm-hmm. at, and you look at the idea, you sit down and talk with them, and you know this just will not work. How hard is it for you to tell them, you might want to rethink this one?
Yeah, that's not hard. It's like I said, it's totally respectable. It's not going to work. More respect for someone who can say that, right, for themselves and for somebody else too that says it's not going to work. Now, if you're going to do it anyway, that's okay. That's okay.
Now, what about the opposite? When they think it won't work, but you look at it and go, this is brilliant.
Brilliant.
And they're holding themselves back.
Then watch out, because if you're not going to, somebody else will.
And it might be cinnamon.
No, I'm not going to steal your ideas.
No, I'm kidding. Where do they find your book? You know, where do they find it? We didn't talk about that.
Where do they find my book? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so everywhere book is sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever your favorite bookseller is.
Do you expect to get out of your book when you sit down with it? When I pick that book up and I open that cover, uh-huh. the journey I'm about to start, where am I going on this journey?
Yeah, well, so I have a character in the book, her name is Sally. Now, it doesn't have to be a female character, but because I've had plenty of men read the book who get about to chapter 8 and they say, I'm Sally. So that's really, yeah. Fred might be Sally. What I think that really, from what people are telling me, what they're getting out of the book, is that you see a part of yourself reflecting back that you didn't know you had.
Okay.
And then with knowledge is power. It's like, whoa, I really do that. I do that. And you might get challenged a little bit. At the end of every chapter, there are exercises where I say, let's play. Right. So that, exactly what you were saying is, you know, how do you tell somebody if it's a good idea to do it or not a good idea? It's really just a matter of taking action and applying your inspiration, your motivation, what you're reading in my book, you know, what you're getting from this talk. Like, are you just going to listen to it, talk about it, or are you going to do something about it? So you're going to definitely feel challenged. Give the book away at the end. It says, tag, you're it.
So what's next for you? What's coming up next for Cinnamon? Because you do not sit still. There's no dust on Cinnamon. What's next?
I don't. So I just launched my YouTube channel. So that's what's new. You can find it's called, my show is called Secret Spice. Brand new. So you can like me and play there. You get a Cinnamon challenge at the end of every episode there. I am on the Workforce Development Board, still very active with SCORE. If you are very new to business and you want help along the planning process, you can find us there. We're doing business series, like a 6-week series, working workshops where it's not just information, but you're actually working through your mission and your vision and your financials and your marketing and everything all in one place. And then I do coaching also on a limited application basis because I've got a lot going on. I'm working, so to answer your question, a lot, and I'm in the 5-year transition. My business is located in Southern California. I'm in a 5-year plan of transition from being full-time lighting manufacturer to living in my beach house. So I'm in the process of redesigning my businesses for myself and my lifestyle.
I want to thank you so much for stopping by. You have a busy schedule as well. And you, every time I call, Cinnamon comes running. She's like, I got you. I'll be there. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you for sharing here, sharing on the show, sharing in the summit. You're a wealth of knowledge. And I'm just proud to call you my friend. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.